Ferrari Queen's Club. And if one has one actor which left, we will always miss them. We did areas for mission treasury and areas department of education. We at this stage we're not sure whether the departments are aware of this additional funding. It's about service delivery. But then somebody decides to redirect it elsewhere and then compromise it. What the government must do now. So I'm just praising this so that as you also engage with your own council, these are some of the critical things. You must always be looking for whenever you engage with your council. So that I will allow you to say. I'm just saying, because we are all peaceful with oversight, these are some of the critical things you must always be vigilant about and that you do oversight. So we shall have on the 25 some urgent meeting with 7 provincial treasuries, 7 departments of education, just to check where this money has gone to. Because I can tell you, some of the provinces will come here again and hit poverty when already money is allocated. And it's going to be floating in the provinces there. Doing what? I don't know. Mr. Sobonio, your comments generally?
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson. You know what you're saying, Chair? I mean, in spite of that meeting of the 25th, it's a question that the comment that made, I would like further to take into account. That of saying, you know, we see now with a number of programs, conditional grants being integrated into the, what you call, into the provincial equitable share. And I think that maybe there are good reasons for doing that. But the problem that you have, if you still have the challenges that you had when you identified so that when you allocated that condition, and then we think now the provinces from the conditional grant are going to make room for those objectives that were, for those challenges that were identified. I think that this is proving that provinces have got other priorities. So, and I would like us to share, I think that this year sometime, I'm not when, we're going to engage in the FFC report and what. I'd really like us to engage vigorously on this matter of integrating this conditional grant into the provincial equitable share when they were to call it, the challenge has not been what you call it, actually the goal has not been achieved. Now, I think that's a comment that Federal should look on that. At least they should be very what you call it, careful. We know that Chairperson normally says that people don't want conditional grants from conditional grants. But when they say they don't want it, they create other conditional grants from themselves, from the provinces. So you begin to wonder, what is it that people they don't want? Is that that they don't want to account to other people? Everyone wants people to account to them. So I think that person does a comment that I really wanted Treasury to take into account on this matter.
Okay. These are some of the painful things we learned. Right? Let's then take the Department of Cohesion. It's called Arts and Culture. I've not seen their submission. I've not seen how thick that submission is. But when all is said and done, they must tell us. You come over the center. They must tell us whether. Because part of their bigger problem is the fact that there's this big understanding for libraries. And I'm sure the colleagues from Johannesburg would be surprised when they hear that there's so much understanding in respect of libraries. I mean, I'm sure you've got a million of libraries in Johannesburg yourself. Well, this is one paper which is very useful. The Department of Cohesion. Talk to us.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. The document before this Honorable Committee is simply the projected allocation of thank you, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Graham Dominey. I'm the National Archivist of South Africa, and my colleague, Mr. Dumile Bokwana, over there, is the CFO of the department. We've been instructed by the Minister and the Director General to appear before this committee to present on the allocation of the conditional grants for the year 2008-09 in terms of the DORA. The one page that we have here is in fact how the funds are going to be allocated to the provinces over the financial year, but I understand from your initial remarks you would also like us to talk to this one first. Right, okay, sir. Let's start with the bottom line in the bottom right-hand corner. That's the total amount to be allocated in the coming financial year is 338 million rand to the 9 provinces. I will just move over and you will see how it is being allocated per quarter to the provinces, beginning with the Eastern Cape. And I'd like to flag the Eastern Cape, Chairperson. In April, there will be a transfer of 9,252,000 rand. July, 11,024,000 rand. October, 13,637,000 rand. And January, 8,675,000 rand. You'll note that in each case, the amounts vary. We're not transferring standard amounts as we did in the current financial year where it was just the overall amount was divided by four. The provinces have submitted to us the more precise requirements per quarter. The variations are in part due to the increasing amount of work that is being done on new facilities and renovations, which accounts for to some extent for the varying amounts of money, and also the fluctuations in payments for book material. The total, therefore, for the Eastern Cape is 42,588,000 rand. The Free State in the first quarter will receive 5,322,000, and then in the second quarter 11,328,000, the third quarter 7,621,000, and the last quarter, you can see they're being very serious about avoiding the financial spike, 6,656,000. Gauteng, very interestingly, Chairperson, in the first quarter has not asked for any funds whatsoever. This is because they are using the municipalities and the metros as their service delivery agents, and they are not going to transfer until the beginning of the municipal financial year, which is 1st of July. Therefore, you will see that there is a double amount being allocated in July 2008 21,034,000 rand. In October, 7,385,000, and in January, 6,902,000. KwaZulu-Natal, 3,171,000, and again a spike in July to account for transfers to municipalities at the beginning of the municipal financial year, 13,677,000. October, 6,623,000. January, 2,724,000. Limpopo is a more even distribution of expenditure, 9,573,000, 13,285,000, October, 8,833,000, and January, 11,235,000. Sorry. Mpumalanga is again a smaller amount in April, 4,100,000, and again the amounts transferred to municipalities are the larger amounts in the first and second quarters of the municipal financial year, 11,000,000 and 19,000,000, and then in the third quarter, January 2009, 8,304,000. Northern Cape, 13,625,000. 16,387,000, 9,911,000, 5,200,000, and of course the total at the bottom, which I've omitted, 45,000,000. You'll notice that Northern Cape is also continuing to be accommodated, rather than advantaged. Accommodated because of the particular nature of the province, where the equitable share is based on per head of population, and they have a huge area that requires extra costing to service, even though the number of people in that area are relatively low. Northwest, 8,112,000. In the first quarter, 16,706,000. In the second quarter, 9,823,000. In the third quarter, 5,919,000. In the fourth quarter, and a total of 40,560,000. Western Cape, again, as with Gauteng, much of the service delivery is done through municipalities, and you'll note that in the first quarter, they have just asked for 405,000 rand, less than a million, in their first tranche. Second tranche, 8,879,000, which is when they begin transferring at the beginning of the municipal financial year. They asked for 7,944,000, 14,206,000, totaling 31,434,000. The totals across will indicate the total amounts being transferred per quarter, coming to the grand total of 338,000,000. In terms of the bill. Shall I pause there, sir?
Thank you very much. Many questions? Questions? Comments? That's library. This is all about library. Get me this over.
Now, thank you very much for the short presentation. However, sir, I think that there are problems. Gauteng has not requested a transfer for the first quarter, as good as Northern Cape. You know, I think that we're beginning to set ourselves to put ourselves in a trap. I think that the whole objective of coming up with a governance, what we call a mechanism, is to ensure that there is management of these issues. The national and provincial financial year starts on the 1st of April. we understand the local government issues, but it doesn't mean that on the 1st of April, between the 1st of April and June, there is no activity that is taking place at a local government level. And if there are no funds that are being transferred during that time, what is the assumption? Because this transfer is not just a 1 year transfer for the whole year. It tranches on a quarterly basis, which assumes that there's work that could go on, whether the work is done at a municipal level or by the province. Now, to us, it means that now we want a special arrangement for these provinces to deviate from the norms and standards of the guidelines of your Public Finance Management Act. But we would really like from this side to understand as to what is it exactly that makes the transfers not to be effective on the first quarter, but only in the last quarter. Because Houghton, for instance, had the last count, was not one of the provinces that had an understanding on this. But it was one of those provinces that had a better standing, as well as the Western Cape. So I'm not sure what informed this particular way of allocation. Number two, we are only we appreciate the one page, but this one page that does not say everything, for instance. We currently from the provinces now, 2 weeks ago, for instance, from the Eastern Cape. And I think that National Department were here during the presentations of the third quarter, where the provinces, especially the Eastern Cape, for instance, were saying, please, you may not allocate to us. Total. That's what the Eastern Cape was saying. Now we're allocating to them, we're giving them 42 million rand, but that one page does not tell us how Eastern Cape is going to be supported. It doesn't tell us that. And I think that we would like to approve those funds, but we would not like to just throw the funds. Throwing the funds to provinces that do not have capacity to spend is not a solution. I think that is the issue that needs to be addressed here, so that if we have to approve those allocations, it must be based on the what you call it, support that Eastern Cape would have. Chairperson, let me just rest for that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, just only quickly one page. I would like to have more here that the monitoring system for the department to provinces, because the ground. And if there was any challenges, my province, end of January, only spent 23% of their budget. Entire budget, 23 million. Only 23 was spent. And that was reported by Treasury and the HOD of Port Art and Culture. Okay. 23%. Mind you, they said it. In fact, for New South Wales, I said 67.
Yeah.
The department, we were both in that meeting. The department said 1/4.
They were on, yes.
Exactly. 1/14%. No, 14%. 14%. Okay, and I can't foresee that there's a difference of spending. Certainly there's a challenges, there's problems. The HOD reporting that they have ordered books from overseas and they can't deliver. Now, I ask the question, what type of books have they bought so much overseas who can't be delivered in this country? and why they're not buying books from here. Because each and every agency, when you want your books, they will order it for you and they will deliver it. So that was actually a report that was not accepted to us as a committee. So that is why I would like to see what are the challenges in the provinces going to and the monetary system of the National Department to say, because there's a ground. We can't get money to provinces if they don't spend the money. What are they doing for spending the money? And I want to link up with my colleague here. The financial year of municipalities and national departments have nothing to do with, you said, we're waiting until the financial year of the municipality starts. What happens in the meantime? Because that was from the previous financial year, and this one is for the next financial year. So there's a contingency. So I would like to get clarity on this here, because there's nothing into this report here. It's just figures. And this figures we can get it from the Division of Revenue. I want much more to say what is happening on the ground in the provinces, that I can go to my constituency and say, the province has no problem. There's one library in my constituency who haven't got books, and it's been built 2 years ago, and it's between next and nothing in the Bohomo, because from one village, from one area of the township to the other township, it's in the middle, and it's 5 kilometers from the street. So they build there, and there's nothing there, and there's still no books in that for the last 2 years. Thank you.
My colleague, Honorable Porter, he's having it correct to say this one phase indeed does not give us the true picture. When it comes to challenges, we need to hear that. What is the Alfred project actually now? Because this project, overspending, underspending, you know, when you look, the pigs are in case that end. You ask yourself whether this is a genuine consumption. A problem like that one, you know. We need a nation that is really using, the facilities of life problems. We are really concerned about this. Thank you.
All right. You see what is going on here? This one major in hiding the true state of affairs. Because all 9 provinces had understand it. And the third quarter, all 9 in respect of this country. So the question that must be asked is, what has the department between the last quarter, third quarter and now, been doing in terms of ensuring that there is capacity to absorb? I think that's the one thing. Number two, Mr. Coloni definitely is going to be understanding. No, he's going to be understanding. And so, what is going to happen? Are we going to see some all of us? Because there's going to be definitely under control. In fact, what we saw in the last quarter was not spending, but transfer to municipalities. So it's money that is sitting in the account of municipalities. And so it's going to be, it's not going to be spent. Not just understanding, it's unspent money, which ought to revert to the National Revenue Fund. So are we then going to see some withholding somewhere within the year in terms of this thing? Because again, this one data as is, I'm not sure what is the basis of the division. Why are you saying, for example, the Eastern Cape is asking for 9 million extra? The same Eastern Cape said here, they don't need the other chance. Are they ready now to absorb this branch in this financial year? Now, what therefore is the basis? Well, somebody might just accept there and come back and say, all right, let's give them 9 now,
11 in the second quarter, 13, and well, somebody's trying to play with the figure so that you don't have the match spike, if you like. If you're looking at this thing, well, January 09 is 8 million instead of more. Same applies to free days and so on and so on. So somebody's always trying to play with some mind games there. That we must see that there's no reason. We are not going to have a match spike. It does not tell us anything. In fact, it's really misleading. Precisely because we know the capacity. Now, the worst problem is that this money is sent to municipalities who themselves have no capacity. And so, this is financial dumping. The long and short of it is financial dumping. So there are already people have planned for financial dumping, if you like, looking at this thing. This story that the members are raising, where are we? Where are we in terms of it? We've got to ask this particular question. And so the question I was also then raising in my opening remark. Have you ensured, and you are convinced, that these provinces have the capacity? In fact, I don't even answer that question, because I don't. Don't even bother answering it, because this money is going to municipalities finally. That's at the bottom line. And again, these municipalities have problems. Rather, what we would want to have from you is a list of which municipalities have you transferred this money to. We need that list. So that we must then check whether this money is used in those municipalities. What are you
supposed to do? Okay. Also, regarding, and I'm pronouncing it correctly, there's a grant. Each and every province must have submit a business plan to get the money. Because there's not a sum stuck and said, we've got extra money in treasury, so we gave each and every one something like that. There must be a business plan. So I would like to see the business plan of this allocation to, in that business plan of the department of libraries to say, we want to do this for this period, we want to do this for this period, we want to do this for this period. Because as you indicated, Chief, it's just like to say right, that the figures must be played like a good accounting to make your account very looking very nice to the bank manager. And it looks like here. That is as I see it here, it looks like very nice to spend the money, transfer money, end of the day we spend everything 100% of the end of the year. But this financial year was, this last financial year there was not spending anyway. So the business plan was approved by the bank to get that money. So was this business plan involved with this allocations according to this and to which municipalities that was transferred, because that was supposed to be in this business plan.
Well, this thing is about has this business plan been approved? And how credible are these business plans?
No, thank you, sir. And I think there are two things, sir. One is at least now one case gets solid from this new division of revenue. That in the past, you know, those transfers, people would say money has been transferred, and that was sufficient indication of some kind of expenditure. Now, this division of revenue, it goes further now to say they will have those entities or municipalities who have received, will have to prove that they have utilized those money. I think that they, at least, there is an improvement as far as this business
is concerned. But the other issue that I wanted to raise was the problems, amongst the problems that Eastern Cape raised was the issue of a subsistence, not being able to give them support. And we invited Sita to the Eastern Cape when we met with Arthur Kalt in the Eastern Cape. Sita chose not to honor that meeting. And now I'm not sure if
there are any arrangements. I had expected that Peter would be here today to tell us that how he is going to support the library, so that we can be sure that at least they will not become a problem. We can deal with other problems, or is someone dealing with that? In fact, I think that if they don't want to come, we may have to subpoena them to come and appear before us, because it's necessary to know how they are going to support those municipalities or the province of the Eastern Cape. I think that's my question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members. I'll take the questions in the sequence they were asked, if that's in order. The first question was in connection with the transfers or lack of transfers in the first quarter of the financial year, in which both Gauteng and Eastern Cape were used as examples. The last transfer of the current financial year, which is 2007-08, in fact goes to the municipalities to cover their activities between the periods April to June. So it's not that there is no work being done, it's that the current year's funding covers the work that is being done in that quarter.
I think, you know, these arithmetic sometimes differ. I'm not sure if my ears might not be serving me well. Are you saying the last quarter of Arts and Culture is April to June? Because my understanding is that last quarter should be January to March. If you could clarify what you're saying.
Through you, Chairperson. The last quarter of the Department of Arts and Culture financial year is the same as all government departments, and that is, it is from January to March. What happens with the conditional grant, particularly for the province of Gauteng and the province of Western Cape, is that they did not transfer any funds to the municipalities in April 2007. They began their transfers from June. So they always looked statistically as though they were 25% below in their spending. And that 25% covers the municipalities for the first quarter of the government's financial year 2008-09, which is the last quarter of the municipal financial year 2008-09. May I proceed? The Honourable Member also asked about the Eastern Cape. I think I'll answer all the questions that he raised. He also raised a question about CETA in the Eastern Cape. We have visited most of the provinces. We visited the Eastern Cape before the last time we appeared in front of this committee, and in fact the HOD from the Eastern Cape was present in the last meeting of this committee. Unfortunately, Mr. Fenyana has been overseas and he only returns today, so we have not had an opportunity to interact with him. So at this stage I can't add any new information to what was said in the last meeting, except to say we share your concerns and we are committed to addressing them as far as practically possible. How is the Eastern Cape going to be supported is the question that was asked. The National Treasury's Technical Assistance Unit is doing its utmost to render support to the Department of Arts and Culture in the Eastern Cape. They have sent investigators. They have sent hands-on practitioners to assist them with supply chain management issues such as the simple processing of invoices. They've not only done this in Eastern Cape, but they've done it in Limpopo and Northwest provinces. Once we get to speak to Mr. Mpanyana, which Mr. Bukwana and I hope will be next week, we will be able to see what the latest situation is, because I really would not like to stick my neck out and say, yes, they will send everything to the year. We have, as the committee knows, withheld their final payment to them because they've not done so.
If giving much credit to stick out your neck, I'm going to stop you right there. But not the question. Because I do want to speak to somebody who's going to stick their neck out. Okay? I think what you must do then is, we have reservations about one, the capacity of this province. We are more worried about municipalities that are given this money. So don't respond to this question. Take them back to your principal, the teaching. Let the teacher respond to those questions in writing. And I think that we will take it from them. And thank them for bringing you to appear before us. But you see, this is critical for us because we want people to take serious decisions here. We will want to pass this division of revenue bill, and in passing this, we want you to commit and say, I stick my neck. But if you are really not ready, we will thank you for the presentation. Now,
it's only in relation to Eastern Cape, I can't
say,
because I can talk to the other provinces, I have the information.
No. This can be only about Eastern Cape, not about the whole country. So I'm just saying, let's stop you there and come back through. Let's take another department now. So thanks for the effort and the information. No way.
That's a small comment to help Mr. Domin, that is. I saw Mr. Mpanyana 2 weeks ago before you went overseas. But then I think that we take the decision by the chairperson to ensure that I won't go through what the arrangements are in Eastern Cape, but maybe you should maybe you have indicated that you need to.
Rather, what we need to, Mr. Sokol, is a whole package of the support, not only for the Eastern Cape, but all the nine. They are all underperforming, all of them, in respect of this one. Can be the three. Right? Let's then take the DG. No.
So, one point of information. The business plan will be submitted at the end of this week.
Give it all on to us in writing. So that then we are going to take everybody in terms of what they've given in black and white. At the end of the week. Yeah. DG Agriculture, welcome. Come forward. Then let's talk about the division of revenue.
So, Mr. Chairperson, you say we're giving them 7 days, right, to respond to us so that they can be able to. We must be realistic because today is Thursday, end of the week is tomorrow. We want them to come up with credible, what you call it, information. You think, so next week, on when are we doing the final mandate? The mandate, Wednesday, Thursday. Yes. Mr. Jonas? Next week on Thursday, Wednesday, we'll be in the Northwest doing a mandate. I think that maybe by then those responses must have come.
Very well. Yeah. Mr. Sokoli? Let's welcome this big delegation from the most important. We're from the Department of Cohesion. Now we're dealing with the Department of Food Security, agriculture, and land affairs, or is it only agriculture? Agriculture. Right? Food security. And so, the money that we are going to talk about are earmarked, therefore, for in the final analysis of food security. Whatever you say and talk about. Did you? Food prices, the final struggle is about low food prices. Did you? Let's over to you. Do you have a hard copy from the department somewhere?
Yes.
Of course. That's right. I just call them away. You know, when I get agitated from the chair here, yes, I just call them away. Did you?
Thank you, Chair. Members of the committee. The letter I received, Chair, I may seek your guidance. We talking to the bill part, Division of Revenue Bill, plus our normal interaction in terms of the conditional grant. Is that a correct interpretation, Chair?
I think the first one is the most correct, but our normal interaction informs our decision. So that we then are going to be saying to you, are you ready to absorb more money? Yes or no? I mean, you've heard the Department of Cohesion are already distributing, despite the fact that departments have what we know ourselves. We don't even expect them to tell us. We know that all 9 departments have problems, and hence, therefore, the money is sitting in suspense accounts. It is in the accounts of municipalities. Is that enough? I mean, you've seen the smart provinces, both of them are not interested in getting more money. Just behind you, there's a delegation of councillors from Gauteng, and surely they have so many libraries. And therefore, and I mean, from Johannesburg. So surely you don't understand why Gauteng is not asking for money for Johannesburg, for instance. So clearly there's a problem here. I'm saying our normal discussion, therefore, informs our decision. Should we give you the money as is? Should we reduce it? All up to you. Over to you, teacher.
Thank you once again, Chair and members of the committee. I have here my 2 technical people that shall do the actual presentation, and the team will field the questions that they may arise from the members. To start with, Chair, in as far as the bill is concerned, is to express our gratitude and happiness that some of our recommendations have been included in the bill, and that would enable us to do several things that have dogged us in the past because of lack of a room to act and assist the provinces. This relates in particular to Section 27, where Section 100 of the Constitution is invoked, and we could assist the province. I'll leave that one there, Chair, because it would assist us even in sorting out our system in terms of not only monitoring, but where possible and timely, so we could intervene either by assisting the province, if not, in favor which we could in fact go to the extent of the Section 100, where we could intervene much more stronger. So we're grateful for that amendment that is envisaged. Having said so, Chair, the record of last year was as per our intention in terms of being good to the extent that we had interacted. The picture this financial year doesn't augur well, but the team will talk to some of the issues and the exceptional ones, including the measures that we have taken. With your permission, Chair, if the team could present. By the way, Chair, I must thank Mr. Rizzoli. Our meeting with the Housing Department of Agriculture and the Council and the local government took place. Mr. Rizzoli was there. I appreciate that.
Keep that up. I'm not sure whether you deserve a comment. I'm not going to say it. Keep it
up. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, DG Agriculture and colleagues. My name is Bayete Ndlalili. Mr. Msomi is next to me. I will start off by presenting the comprehensive agriculture support program CAP. And Mr. Msomi will proceed immediately after finish with the land care grant. As we might all know, that CAP is a DORA Stage 4 grant, which is a supplement to equitable share as a national allocation. The goal of this program, Chair, is a GOA initiative to support provincial departments of agriculture to create favorable and conducive environment for emerging farmers. And the purpose is to expand provision of support services for agriculture development. We deliver to the six pillars, Chair. And I think it is important here we mention that CAP out of the farmer support budget overall is only 15% of that farmer support budget. With the second slide that I'm presenting, it further explains exactly what that if we look at the information for 206-207 in terms of the farmer support. If you look at the bottom line figures down there, the whole equity, the whole farmer support for agriculture for all province for the sector. Is that 2 billion and 300 million, which is 2.3 billion, that is for doing agriculture and farmer support on the ground. And the comprehensive agriculture, which is CAP, is only 15% of that amount. And we've put it accordingly with each province. Obviously, it is a responsibility of the national agriculture to oversee all those funds there.
Now, what's the solution for this thing?
It's actually the...
you are yourself responsible for the allocation of cards.
Yes.
And I'm just looking at look. Part of what we've been saying ourselves is how equitable are these things. Looking at the city, for instance, counting does understand, that's another story. Now, you're looking at the Mbombo.
Yes.
Very, very, Mbombo, very rural. And Mbumalanga. The Eastern Cape very well, 16%, the state 36, how things will divide. Can you explain this thing? It's not that quick.
So I'll explain quickly, shortly. I'll explain shortly, Chair.
the equitable share, which is the first column there, provincial treasuries and provincial parliaments then disperse that amount, distribute those amounts that are there. It's only for cash. We just ended this slide that has emphasis of how much is cast out of the farmer support that we're giving on the ground. It is just emphasizing that point.
That's a very good point.
Yes.
I not so low, therefore, in terms of the involvement, for instance. Why is it so low in terms of KZN?
We're going to the slides. The slides that are coming will be explaining how we allocate this.
Turning to that.
Yes. Thank you very much. The allocation is starting from when CAF started, the program started in 2004-05, shown on the board. And over the next coming MTF, we have on 2008-09, the one we're talking about today, which is 535 million, and then the following year, 628 and 6758 through the MTF. This is how we've thought and we've gone around putting together the allocation that you've seen in the above chart. That we looked at the ruralness of the province using the ZSA data. We looked at the size of the delivered, redistributed and restituted land. And we look at also the size of the province in terms of hectares of the province. In terms of hectares, we look at the past performance of the province, and lastly and lately that we have over and above what we've been having, extension money, we then look at also the extension norms and standards and the study that we have undertook in so far as extension service that is there on the ground.
So are you happy with the conclusion? Going back to the criteria you use now, ruralness, etc., etc., are you happy? Does this, if you go back to that thing, like, does it really talk to those issues?
Yes, it is there. It is there, the equitable say of the fund. This is initial allocation. We will put this into two columns. Initial allocation, this is all cash. Initial allocation and extension, this is all cash. But what we are trying to emphasize that is additional money, which is 100 million, which is looking at our extension service on the ground, which gives this capacity that we all talk about all the time on the ground. And the bottom line there, as I said before, that it is found for 534,918,000. So that is the bottom line of the amount that is tabled in front of you today. If you look at the beginning, the total that we're giving to Eastern Cape is 93 million, and the total we're giving to two states is 48 million, Gauteng 24 million, KZN 86 million, Limpopo 87 million, Mpumalanga 52 million, Northern Cape 37 million, Northwest 52 million, and Western Cape 42 million. And all of this, we've looked at the criteria, our criteria, the one that packaged and came up with this thing, and looking at the total amount of 584 million. If we move forward, this is the contribution of CAF since inception. Like that. Yes, that's okay. Now, I'm coming now to watch where Antifumi. Okay. This is the performance to date. This is the performance as of end of January 2008 chair. And I'll simply say this is not a good picture. 56% is the bottom line that you say if you see it there. And if chair, you could look at KZN and you take out KZN as the state, we are at 75% performance on the ground, about 70% performance KZN and Limpopo. And the reason behind those problems being at this stage, still performing there, you've seen the problem that we all know about Hilton, that of the changes in management and on the ground and the support that we have been trying to put to them, and then thereafter the change of management all the time. Insofar as the Limpopo situation is that they have tried to package their projects in a massive way to do bigger impacting projects. And because of that, we are having a lot of invoices lying out there, which in the coming 2 months will be hitting around 90% performance. So that is the picture. And we feel that if we take out KZN into this picture, we still have a good picture about it, the performance of these provinces. And if we compare with last year, which we've moved quicker and achieved a 90 plus performance last year, we think that without KZN, we will be reaching the same amount, the same performance as last year.
Yamaha's report, which is fine. That's all straight to K29, blend care.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bonanto. I'll take you through the land care. Land care is Schedule 5, meaning it's a specific purpose grant, and the purpose is to optimize productivity, sustainable use of natural resources, food security, and job creation for better quality for all. We have got 40 million hectares that is created, and now we are trying to deal with about 3 million hectares. The allocation criteria is the second slide, number 18. That deals with how we allocate money. Look at the notes, the land capability, the property indicators coming from human services companies, then the soil degradation design. Then you look at ISF, the PUF to lose from CPLG, then it is indicated there. Then we also use our soil degradation map, which is based on our national land cover published in 2000. Then we also look at the new boundaries we have adjusted based on the municipal demolition board published in 2006. So we have actually taken care of the movement of soils of district municipalities to different provinces. Then if you go to slide 19, you will see these are the figures, the criteria, the codes that you allocate, the size, the gradation, the index, then it comes to a particular translated to money. Then the 30-40 million at the bottom is constituted based on the different criteria, characteristics of the different provinces, as I explained in the last slide. That's how we arrive to divide the money. Then you go to slide 20. Now this is our the money that how do we divide it for 8 million, and then we have got different dates where we give them 10%, that is in the 11th of February, so soon after the act is signed by the president, so we give them the funds to start doing their job, then in July, according until January. And if I can explain the 35% that agriculture is now. So that's why when you start to September, then where there's a lot of activity. So far, then you've got a lot in July and August. Now, the figures are first explanatory down there. We use those decisions based on the seasonality of the agriculture. Then, if you go to 21, this is how we have been spending this financial year. Again, if you look at Eastern Cape, there's 112%. I think there they've mixed up with the rolling funds, that's why 112% of the provincial contribution. So if you look at Free State, looks good. Gauteng, we have got 33%. But then if you can do, because they're also using some agencies to actually do the cleaning up of Gauteng. Then if you go to KZN, KZN doesn't look bad as in cash, but it's still a poor at 43. They also got another 4 million all over there, which is not part of this 43%. Limpopo, again, for 34%, which is low. I think what happened in house in Limpopo is that they had to reallocate, they changed the project. There was a lot of skill was moved to reassign projects in CAF, and we shared the same skill like the engineers that we use both for CAF and for Lancashire. So they were mostly utilized when they were changing projects. The issue the from the Limpopo explained during the last interaction with the select committee. If you go to Mpumalanga, though it's 41, but we are certain they are going to spend the funds there. Then Northern Cape is 53. Now, and then Northwest, the province was in those rounds, is back again, is down at 12%. So if you look at the bad provinces, this would be Limpopo and the Northwest and Mpumalanga. The problem that we have there, yes. In KZN, I don't want to repeat what my colleague has said about KZN. I think his comments I also support. We are doing intervention in the KZN. And I think what Gigi said is that in intervention with Treasure, we have asked for the, so that we can be able to intervene. And what we're going to do with this financial year, if you don't remember the support these figures as they are, is that we'll monitor closely on a quarterly basis, so that by 6 months timeline, then we'll intervene either take demand or use Section 100 as provided now in this deal, in Section 27, that we can actually, even 6 months, give us enough time to come in with our own intervention to do the procurement there. But the procurement takes about 6 months. Beyond 6 months, it's difficult to say if you can intervene during it, so that even if we are not finishing the money, then at least there is some work on the ground, and it will make the rollover possible, because you'll be applying for rollover to Treasury for work that is already being done. So that's what Gigi said. We have introduced this, and we are here with Treasury, has accepted this. And then we are going to actually monitor, because we want to go in so that we can actually go in. If you look at Limpopo and Northwest, you know, Northwest, we intervened, it looks like they're still back again because of the problem. I think that's where we also would like to go in into these two provinces, three provinces now, which is the KZN, Northwest, and Limpopo, where you see that there are problems. Then, if you go forward, if you allow me to show. Mpumalanga, we are quite happy with Mpumalanga, that's the way we manage. I think it's just based on the invoices in Mpumalanga. If you look at their commitments, I think they will manage in the seasonality of Africa. It's only these three provinces where we really have, and we have actually given the HOD from the Mpopo declared a saving of about 1.8 million in the last meeting. There's a possible rollover 1.8 million in land care. So that's where the accounting also says we might not send this. Not saving, sorry, I'm not saving, sorry. And my apologies, Chair. My apologies, Chair. I think it was a projected under spending of 1.8 declared by the issue in the last interaction with the select committee. Okay. All okay.
Right. The letter has just been sent asking for a 5 minute leg stretch and cheese. That is done. Cheese and medicine. Especially for the elderly.
Thank you. I spoke to you last night asking you whether you are a or not. And I must say, you say that you got a very good
answer.
Yeah, I say the quality of the input was very good. I don't know whether I'm going to say to you, but he says that there's only one bad batch. That was his attitude of Sunta the first day. He says he was feeling awkward also on behalf of the facility.
Why?
But I'm not
more of you understand what you're saying. But
then
it's the complication of this month.
But I must say, I didn't say anything bad or about getting into what is awkward. But then she also said, because of you that you were there and the experience and knowledge of you, it was no problem. Not that you had to rely on only one person for that information. But suddenly the second day it was better. But normally you know, and it's part of human life, you know, that you fight for yourself, and it's good.
It's not fighting for yourself, it's difficult in fighting for yourself. Because, as I responded by saying, we are all sent by the Spirit of the so that we point to the end. I'm saying that whatever happens, you say something about the Lord, and that's not really instant. Just remind that international people, the exercise that we're engaging here, is to say when that is coming,
it's the whole package.
And put it
that's right.
So, in other words, what you are getting is that you are giving them of
correct. You put the package together. What's correct? That's right. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Duncan, I also wanted to shoot stand up to straight, but then he said that it's sitting for the older people. So now I'm sitting.
No, let's stay.
No, let's stay. I know more things. We could have a break here. And I just received that SMS from Irene. Yeah, what is going on? I thought it was sorted out yesterday. Yeah, I know. No, no, of course, I spoke to her after we had our discussion, and she couldn't believe that it was still a problem. Well, she thought that Mangla did a block booking, so what is the problem? So, what is the latest on the block book? Okay, now give me please, let me speak to her. Okay. Yeah, no, it looks like it. Yeah. Hi. What is going on? What's the young around from the street and the block book? Yeah.
I think that's that. Oh yeah, it seems like it's one of them. And I just,
okay,
I hope the city has not taken him to them.
Okay, bye.
Marco,
you
can call the Mimo.
We're starting the block.
We're starting now.
From tomorrow evening.
The
station
is before us. We know the domestic. We know the terminalistic. We know the OPDs. And we know the healthy ones in terms of the problem. Yeah. So, I have forgotten that I have my technical people with me. I've got about a team of technical people with me. I do want them to say something on art and culture. So Dr. Suglas and Makinda on art and culture.
Thanks, Shepherd. Like yourself, I think we also have a few concerns pertaining to this grant. And if I listened to what the department was saying, a lot of the concerns emanate from the expenditure trends in the 07-08 financial year. I've heard that there are business plans. We've listened to the deliberations about 2 weeks ago when they raised the issues relating to poor expenditure. One of the things that I want to caution the department about is that if there is slow expenditure, they should, which may have advantages, but also the disadvantages in terms of whether we're going to really reach the objectives of the purpose of the grant, is if they rush off to buy books to spend the money, then we may have books that are not being used, that are being housed, because first of all, if you have books, if you receive books, they have to be processed, they have to be put on shelves, and everything else that goes with it. And one of the things that we've noticed is that it has, or the reasons for the poor expenditure has been the non-appointment of personnel. Now, without people to administer this, the books are of no purpose. So that's the one thing. The second issue that I want to raise is, if we looked at the expenditure trends that they showed us for the 08-09 financial year and the concerns that were raised by Mr. Sikoni as well about the low transfers in Kaukeng particularly and in the Western Cape, and the explanation given that the money would be transferred at the end of the last quarter of the 07-08 financial year to cover the expenses of the first quarter of the new financial year. that is incorrect, and that is something that I need to say, that that will distort the picture of what has happened in 07-08. Because the money allocated for the 07-08 financial year was according to a plan and it should be spent accordingly. So this, in our way, of the way we would look at it, would be regarded as fiscal dumping. Because you're only allowed to transfer money for services rendered or goods received. Rollovers are also based on commitments, which are services rendered or goods received. So that definitely would be a problem when the Auditor General looks at it. Mr. Sogani has asked, and maybe at some stage we need to engage again in terms of how they would then report for the expenditure where the municipalities are delivering the services, and I think we need to have a big and a proper deliberation about that. We also need to understand at some stage from the department how they are dealing with services, how many provinces are using the municipalities as agencies to deliver the service, and whether everything that is supposed to be done is being done by the municipalities. The other concern, Chair, is that infrastructure is supposed to be a part of the component of this grant, and that needs bigger planning and bigger expenditure, so we've not been able to see that trend either.
Yeah, I think I share the same sentiment as Sandra and Mr. Pagoni, and more so that maybe one must sympathize with them because it's fairly new grant, and they are taking problems. But because we are in the second year of it, you would expect that, you know, how can one tell you or what can take one tell you that no, you know, an agri service is artisanal like agriculture. So one would expect that there will be a 3-year plan, for instance. There will be continuation of spending. Where there are plans that are, you know, because this guy would say we want money and now we want it now. As soon as the money is available, we don't want money. So you've got a problem there that really doesn't make sense to you when you look at it. And I think the reason why they came to us before payment schedule is really that provinces are in need of this thing. You would expect Gauteng to have the highest literacy rate with people in need of the services. So it doesn't augur well for provinces to not want the money now. And I think what Sandra is saying, come the end of March, you would have closed your books, and then therefore, you cannot be spending money from the previous year if you deliver.
You see, part of the problem is that there is a very direct link between these things. For instance, libraries and education generally, whether you like it or not. And so, firstly, the buildings as infrastructure must be there. Secondly, Dr. Kuglal is right, people must be inside there, administrators. And thirdly, books must be inside. So that as people do their homework, etc., etc., there's a direct link. And so, delaying these things really is delaying, therefore, the fight against literacy. Really compromises fight against literacy. So I'm just saying, I think it's a big problem. And but I also, Dr. Suklal, have already spoken to the accountant general to work out some mechanism to actually deal with this reporting mechanism in respect of transfer. We surely are not going to tolerate that kind of exercise where money is transferred and people then come and report transfers as spent. And when you look deep, and just deep up, you find no, there's no spending here. It's just transfer. It's sitting in some banks. And essentially, it's money that should have reverted long time back to the National Fee and Revenue Fund. Because it's unspent money. Yeah, right. Well, we've had these stories about our Department of Fire. It's not a Department of Food Security. It is me who say it is a Department of Food Security. Okay? Agriculture. There's cars, there's land care, there's underperformance, there are good performance, but the DG is happy with the Division of Revenue as is, happy with the brand new allocations, the more allocations, and the tighter section having to clock 27. In other words, they have now powers to intervene. Nobody can always say, no, I'm powerless, and therefore the province can do all sorts of good, of funny things. Right. Comments done? Questions?
Yes, I hear that the department said they will actually get involved in certain province of low spending. But yes, this really a concern. And I'm thinking about my province. Simple. Full blanket and low spending. I understand that there will be a total joint project. When they start, was there no business plan? How was that business plan developed? Was it, if they come in the end of the season to say they want to change the business plan according to this and this and this, this is really a concern for me. Today. And also the other provinces who are low spending on land care. At what time did the department, national department, to get involved with that? Because it's already now the end of the financial year. It's not because we only have 1 month now. When was they intervened? And when was they involved with that practice? To say, what is, because the first 6 months, we could already see when, you remember, say, when the province come and report here, we asked this question. The third quarter, we asked the question. Last week, before last week, Friday, we asked the same question. And the same answers were given to us. We will spend all the money by the end of the financial year. And that was by the middle of, when was that? 2 weeks ago. On that stage, there was nothing changing in the spending percentage. But it was promised there. We will spend all the money. And there was invoices all back, and invoices not submitted, and plans must be changed. We have end of the financial year now, 1 week. And I think we're sitting with this figure here, haven't changed since 3 months ago. And I'm concerned about it. How is that now dumping, financial dumping, just to get rid of the money, or what is the situation? I ask through you, Chair, that we must have this plan of commitment. And that was actually a month ago. And till now, we haven't received any commitment from that province who was in those things. We said, there is a commitment that we can see, and it was not coming forward since the end of the plan for you. So I'm concerned, that's why I asked the department, when was it starting to intervene into the situation? Only now, or 6 months ago, because half year we already see the red light, that they will not spend the money.
You know, Mr. Borger, it's a pity you're an old man now. There was a time when you were young, and you would always want to be in, what is this thing? You'd want to be a magician. And surely, somebody is going to have some magic rendering between now and the end of March, looking at these things. You see, there are two things here. There's something called the ideal, and something called the reality. And there's forever a gap between the ideal and the reality. The ideal is that this money has to be spent, all of it, by the end of March. Not much next year, this much. And today the date is the 5-6. It's the 6th today. Now, looking at those percentages and even the 15th, 77%, between now and that time, and the reality is that we are well enough. And therefore your question is so much justified. It's a grant given on the basis of a business plan, especially for provinces what landscape is going to be created big time. There are no two ways about it. There's so much land degradation in those places. And so maybe plans and plans of what will be there all the time. Okay? Some of the things are going to be that kind of a problem. A magic wand we've got to watch very sharply ourselves. We will be asking the DG and his team again next quarter. How in fact the risk here, there's going to be some understanding. Looking from the Free State all the way down, except Eastern Cape. Now the other problem, Eastern Cape, it tells a funny story about Eastern Cape. How do you understand the conditional grant? The business plan. Our credible loss business plan. 112% land care. Mr. Kone.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me say first, I hope the department is aware of the next week's NCOP activity in Northwest, where we'll be taking parliament of the people. We'll be covering places like Friendestop. Of course, Macquarie, Vormarastani. Those people come down. And they have got a lot of concern about this department not really coming closer to their needs as those in our communities. I will be there myself. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a concern I have. Having listened to the DG saying that the division of revenue looks good, the government has responded to all the what call the requests they have advanced. It looks good. The allocation is there, therefore. It is clear that people don't benefit out of what has been allocated. We need to work out and see exactly who's not doing what. I am looking at your monitoring mechanism here, where you talk of quarterly visits to provinces. Department is there, the EXCO, to verify process. Quarterly visits to provinces by Lenkin is carried to check performance and provide support. I don't know. I just want to check when you. At the beginning of the year, are you satisfied with the quality of business are you satisfied with the request that these people are having the genuine and the correct business plan that will really carry and consume? Because when you make this business, to me, I think you should measure on those bases. It's really unfair to find that end of the year, this time, a province is going to have so much rollover. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Thank you.
Right. If it's part of the problem, DG, let me also blow the whistle now. Mr. Colonna, I sympathize with people who have not met with the department physically. We took this department and the teaching of. I was leading a delegation to the Eastern Cape to two places. The first place we went to is called Apanya, over in Kenya. The second one we went to Lubote, again. The attitude is with your, it's not with you. And the attitude is not with your MECs and your HODs. The attitude is with your extension officers. I'm saying this because we went to this place and commitments were made
And up to the headquarter, when the Eastern Cape AOG was here, and I reported this thing to, I have two reports from the two places we went to, where it is said it's only commissioners. In fact, the MEC, in respect of the body, went there 2 days before we went there, made huge commitments. And when we were there, commitments were made by the same attention officers. When we left, nothing happened. So when we confronted them now during the third quarter, they were saying, no, no, this is the problem. Why make commitments to people when these things are not budgeted for? And this is what they were saying to me. That the body is not part of the current budget. They will be in the next budget. Yes, yes, made commitments. And in respect of Abanaka, they have sent this community from pillar to post. In other words, they sent to the community, the attention officer, go and look for a quotation and buy your tractor. Unfortunately, I then phoned the chairperson of that parish in that area, in the present population team. Spoke to him over my phone. This gentleman says, Mr. Khalani, we last saw those people the day you left. The only people that are delivering in the sense of the team, what is the team that is the DBSA? So the same applies to the board, the DBSA were doing that, their part. But agriculture was not. Now, SOG was then embarrassed. This is the problem we have to embarrass people. We've got to talk straight. We do oversight. And then he started phoning in my presence. And then he said to me, I'll check that thing. Certainly, my officials were wrong by saying the community must go and look for quotation. But number two, a tractor has been bought for them. It's going to be delivered. I say, but what is difficult about talking to people over and over? Well, certainly, if you have made a commitment, you can come back. It's not a stretch of your nose coming back and saying, no, no, we made a commitment, we know. But unfortunately, it's not budget at all. Now, the worst thing about the Eastern Cape, I think it does end at me, I don't know the number, is that the Department of Agriculture illegally got more money from what we call the infrastructure grant to government, 45 million. Now, what the basis of that was, we don't know, because in terms of the Bible, they are not supposed to benefit from that. It's only three departments that must benefit from this money. Roads, health, and education. They were given more money, and we still want to know why. When they are not going to communities, firstly, just to tell them that you are not in the budget, and so on and so on. But number two, you're not going to deliver. These are some of the things that I think you must raise very, very sharply. This thing called work ethic is critical for people. They were using the strike at the time. No, no, we can't do things because the workers are going to die. Unfortunately, the strike came to an end. And they also disappeared. I'm just saying, that's the kind of, and therefore the issue you're raising of visits. And maybe some of the officials from the DG are also just visiting for the sake, they're walking around the places that they visit in terms of the monitoring that we're talking about here. But the bottom line is that they don't pick up these things that we are talking about the invisibility of the department to communities. I'm sorry for the long term.
Now, it was important, Chairperson. Chairman, I think that in the light of the examples that you have given, maybe really my question would be, CAF, a very brilliant idea by government, but is it achieving the goal? What really, what you call objective of this program? And is it achieving those goals that it was set to do? I mean, if you look at the way the expenditure is done, you must look at the provinces now. We're throwing money to them, and so we think that it's a solution because they must get more money. But is that a solution? As well, that's for people to get more money. The other question, Chair, is also related to the question of the objectives that were set. Issues around your measurement. Are we achieving what you said to do? You know, the people that we went to see in the meeting, some of them would say, you know, during those apartheid times, come the time for planting, there will be tractors, will be all over the what you call, all over the show, for each and every family, at least to plant. Then now, it's us now who want to, who promise to commit ourselves to make a better life for the people. But we take those things away, and then people, they sit there without any what you call. You must go now to those provinces that we think that are rural. Unless you're going to the farming areas where there are established farmers, commercial farmers or what. But if you go to the rural areas, who are supposed to be just planting for a household, what you call a consumption, those fields are lying barren there. Why is that the case? So that's why I'm asking the question that what was the whole objective of this program? Is it achieving it? This is an old, what you call it, this is an old conditional grant. But every year, this year up to end of January, we're at 67% there. Now, that's why I'm saying, so are we doing any evaluation of where the what you call a problem are, and as to why is it that people are not spending on this grant? Chair, the Comrade Koreni talks about your monitoring mechanism. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if what will really be the basis of saying no, we must approve this budget, this grant, this grant. I'm not very clear as to what will be the basis of saying that when people now, at the end of the fourth quarter, are halfway with the previous year's budget. Mr. Mtome and myself went to Gauteng last year, which is one of the provinces that I understand, especially on the land care. Sorry, previously, around, you know, November or October, as with a full select committee, we were in Gauteng, who met with the municipalities there, around Gauteng, who were saying, look, this is when I think Gauteng is in a fire, you want to call it, province. They were saying, look, we have pockets of land here, but we do not have access to the resources where people would like to, to do some kind of planning. So that's why Mr. Nkomi and myself went there to see them. But well, the I'm not reporting about that meeting. However, but we heard that the MEC does try to coordinate. There are challenges around the coordination. But at the end of the day, is that these resources I'm not going to the people. And I'm not sure whether the problem is with the extension officials or it is with whom, but there are problems. How can we really justify the continued existence of this grant? Should we continue with this grant? Should we discontinue with them? Will it help us to discontinue with them? I'm not sure, but clearly, if you ask about the need is there. There's dire need for this kind of what we call of grants. But I'm not sure. There is a new approach in terms of the of monitoring the expenditure. Because, you know, sometimes we don't get the whole picture if we get the expenditure on conditional grants. There might be other programs, similar programs under the equitable share. Now, we don't know whether people are not utilizing this particular the conditional grant, utilizing other equitable share. But I think that we also welcome that new approach of giving a comprehensive, what you call, report, so that people mustn't say that, well, we're not using this, those other, what you call, allocations. But I'm not sure what is the experience of agriculture in this. I would really like to hear Chairperson's take.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to ask a question to the department on slide number 21. It's more about Mpumalanga on 41% spend. The department says they are certain that Mpumalanga will do better. I don't know by when. I just want to know what makes the department so certain. How much did they help Mpumalanga to improve their expenditure? And also, they said on housing that, by the way, I'm from housing. They said the housing is more especially using the agencies. But I think the agencies also need to be paid if they are used. Those people, those companies, they need to be paid. But I see for about 10 months, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and January, there's nothing. There's nothing appearing. Only the debt. And all these provinces, there are months where there's nothing that has been spent. I just want to know what is happening over this month that there's nothing that is spent in the provinces. And also on the input, the experience that you shared with us, the chairperson, that is the MEC, the department, to go to the community and make some commitments. And the next thing they are saying, the area was not included in the budget. As a result, they can't get what they were promised. I want to say to the department, there's nothing wrong in saying to the people, if maybe you visited the area, you say to them, we hear your concerns. We know them, but the situation is in this way. Everything that government supposed to deliver should be budgeted for. And unfortunately, your area is not budgeted for. We'll see in the next financial year to make sure that we include your area in the budget. So don't expect us this year to come and give you something, but we'll try to give you something in the coming year.
There's nothing in saying that. Instead of promising people things that you know deep down in your heart that you are not going to be able to deliver. I think this thing of making our people to compare our government with the apartheid government must come to an end. If we go to people, what we are promising them, we must make sure that we deliver and we give them what we promised them. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah. No, thanks, man. I just omitted one comment that was made by department on the issue of section numbers of the Constitution. I think that section 100 is a good article, especially. However, my understanding of this section 100, we'll be going to Northwest, where? 28, 29,
I mean, to another case.
Yeah.
You know, people sometimes, like the Bible, when someone always, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not being good, some kids. When other people, when they read the interpretation, all of us, we have our own interpretation of this Bible. Second Henry, the provincial salary was taken over the department using Second Henry. So I'm saying there are many interpretations. I'm not sure if it's part of that. One department taking over another would do the same as the question. But it's their interpretation, you know. But the problem is that what we should also say within the section 100, I think there is another clause that talks about the support. Not just on the section 100 where you withhold yourself, but also the support that national departments must give, like national and provincial must support your local government before you you intervene. So that when you reach that stage of intervening, it must be because you say, well, look, we think that we have done our level best. Maybe now we're left with no other alternative. But it's a good comment I wanted to make.
No, the biggest problem about caste is that it subsumes another problem. And so reporting is a bit problematic. But that's one area. And I'm just not sure how it's going to be dealt with. It does give me problems myself. And the conditional and really that assumed in other programs. I think it does create a reporting problem. And I suspect, I do want to urge the DG to really look at that. Well, the problem is that, and we always are saying, do not squeeze the conditional grant into the equitable share until you have achieved the objectives for which they were set. But if you do that even before that, you then have problems. What I was, I'm not sure whether you were in here when I was sharing something with our delegation from Caldini earlier. I was saying to them that there is a report which is right here before me, given by National Treasury, that 2.7 billion rand has been added to increase the baseline of education in provinces. But only two provinces have allocated. The other provinces have not. And so if this cut is assumed in other provinces, it gets lost somewhere. And then the question is the so-called raises in terms of achievement. And this is basically the point we want to make. Well, people do all sorts of things with the equitable share. Mr. Porter was saying we went to Limpopo. Your Department of Agriculture, for instance, in Limpopo, before we went there, we're not sure now, we hope it's not.
we're also building roads. And the question we raise is then, where do you get the money from? But the little money you have relates to your core business. So I think, no, the problem here with us is that, is it correct? The produce must be taken to the market. And so if there are no roads from the farms, I do. Now, roads is sitting there with the money that must be building roads. When we brought the money, one of roads saying to us, we were not aware that agriculture was doing roads. Something like that. And so, since our interaction, we did say to them, they must go back and talk to each other. In the context of what they hold passionately, each department in that province says, in the context of the provincial and growth strategy, we are going to do the following. And then they do the opposite. The first problem they don't, the first problem you can see, they don't talk to each other. In a meeting like this, you can see everybody has some form of animosity between the official and the politicians. And they did say to us that in this province, there's a big challenge of integration. This department does its own, that department does its own. They even told us that health was not speaking for initial pressure. They were like, for the first time in our country, health was given in terms of their baseline to 4.1%. And that's one of the reasons we went there. The formula is clear, they must be given 26%. Now what he's saying then to them is, you're talking so well about your provincial growth and development strategy, but you are also undermining your strategy yourself. Because the things you do not talk to that. One, how do you hope to grow an economy without roads? And just driving around Limpopo, I mean this place, Polokwane, wow! There are huge brand new buildings all over the show. Roads are critical. Number two, is I'm saying the baseline for health decreased. Now, how do you have to grow an economy when people are sick? I was using horrible words. I was so angry. I was saying it is rubbish, it is nonsense, it is just not one. You can't therefore have an economy with very sick people. Okay. And when we left that place, the baseline is at least to a rate from now 24.1 to 25.9. And so we're adding them to engage and engage. Maybe by now it's 26 now. We hope we were there 2 weeks ago. Education. How do you hope to have an economy cutting education baseline? This is what I'm talking about now. People have been given more money to add to the baseline. They decided, no, we're not doing that. Only two provinces have done that. So some of that thing, there's a whole range of things that all of us are not doing right. But then having said that, the ball is in your court now, DG, and your team.
Thank you, Chair. He's just vacated his chair, and he had promised that we should let him. Thank you, Chair. With that guideline, Chair, I would allow DDG TT, who is primarily responsible for intergovernmental and relations as well as sector services. The many issues that the honourable members have raised fall into her view, particularly where the questions have been raised in terms of the spending, the value for money, but also the monitoring system we've got for the information of the members. 80 people of our own located in the province. Admittedly, that's not enough. We also have to deal with the applications of the various projects that come, the business plans. To be very honest to the members, I've never been happy about the business plans, because in and of themselves, when they come, you can't judge more than that. And I wanted always that I should see them within a particular context. Are you talking about the region? Are you talking so that then they are located and they come as part of the whole? So from that perspective, Chair, we are hoping that the land and agrarian reform project, the priority number 7 of the 24 that has been mentioned, we're not hoping. We've already decided, Chair, that CASP, because of that approach, would have to be radically changed. Members would know that we've always said 70% of the CASP has got to go to what we call settlement or land reform. Now, the land and agrarian reform program comes with 5 key areas of land reform: production, services, exports or trade, and the last one is agribusiness. So up front, we have already said CASP should no longer now await in the manner that it has the applications and the business plans which are dealt with in Pretoria. What we are now saying is that let that process be handled in the provinces, and lower still, where then the business plans, so to speak, are now dealt with. We're dealing with this district. What do we need in this district? Where is equitable shares role, and how could we leverage the other funds available? So that therefore, that which would be coming from CASP would be primarily that which we have intended long ago for it to do, to sort of leverage, rather than in your earlier question, Chair, where you said, but in some, the proportion of CASP is higher, in some it's lower. And where it is higher, our reading of it, and it's, I was just doing a quick counting, it's 6 provinces. If you take the 15% as a benchmark, you would have liked that actually no province should have a higher proportion of CASP, because that means the allocation and the treatment of CASP is not appropriate. And the province should actually increase. So these are the issues, strategic issues that we're beginning to infuse. But in terms of LARP, that's the Land and Agrarian Reform Program, we now are radically altering for that. We're pushing towards getting that value for money, strategically liberating, and asking provinces to say, by the time you say cash should come in, what have you and what are you doing for that? Because the thinking is that we're trying to influence towards agriculture needs, as you've said, and gradually cast proportion actually should fizzle out as the provinces increase as well as maintain. And that's a principal role together with the National Treasurer. She's doing a very important role, because all the treasuries, she engages them together with the national through what we call a 4x4. So the allocations that are coming are very welcome. But I think we need to increase more than just the monitoring and evaluation. The Section 100 that comes to play here, indeed, we apply first the 125, which says national has got to do something. We also are ready, together with the provinces, when you know we notice something even further down on 154 in terms of combining. But what is not enforced here, until this amendment has allowed us, is to say, and the question was asked, when do we interview? It's exactly, we're saying we've got to give ourselves the room. In the room, we're saying it's got to be something like 6 months. Having noted in the first quarter, in the second quarter, the picture came here. Yes. what you are then saying with that guideline says that when 6 months come, we've got to justify why we don't provide the 125 support. We do not consider and argue against it if there is such an reasoning, Section 100, but that reasoning we are saying should no longer come from the provinces. We should answer it ourselves. We've noted understanding. We in some cases, change not understanding, and members of in the previous sitting that we were discussing some another portfolio, where you find that money is not, you can be spent, but not for what it's intended to for. And in past, these are frequent and they are there. But then we actually could take some very specific measures. But I just wanted to highlight this and allow Dr. Mkhize, as he has pleaded, to that he comes in and will come with DVGTT and I can run out. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. The DG has spoken about the bigger picture, which is a LARP process whereby at that leadership level, he will be making sure that things on the ground happen the way he understands them. And I think that is a big plus on our side, because what it means is that on a daily basis, if one can look at it that way, he will know exactly what the problems are at what province and how is the province going about addressing those problems. All the questions that members have asked will actually be asked by the DG to the HODs to say what is happening there. And I wanted to highlight that and then try and address some of the questions at implementation level. The DG has spoken about business plans. In the department, we have a very strict process and procedure to even decide how much will go to what province in terms of allocation. And our formula has been tried, and we are now testing as to how practical it is. All the questions that were asked as to how do you decide to give so much to what province. That one we've done, and we are satisfied with that formula. Business plans are approved latest mid-November, so that we make sure that provinces get to understand business plans have been approved, but of course they go to the minister and get signed very early in the year, following year. Provinces then get ready to implement those business plans. On the question of 112% spending by the Eastern Cape as of 31st December, I think the province used all the money that was allocated to them, and they started digging from their own their own share. So they used all the 8 million or 9 million, whichever amount that was given to them, and they started taking from other monies that the provinces had. It is, based on the PSMA, not the right thing.
Started taking from money called the IGP, which was unfortunately incorrect. It is called infrastructure grant to provinces. We know that. Because they got more money from the provincial treasury than the UK. There is no bailout here for overspending. It's illegal.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We don't support that, because business plans should have indicated if the province needed more money. And
is it incorrect that you speak about business plans?
I think that the issue is, maybe what we're not saying is that conditional funds are not meant to be the real, what you call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
as opposed to the supplementing what the provinces are supposed to be budgeting. And are the provinces doing that? These are the questions that we need to understand from provinces. Thank you, Chair. I thought of making an analogy with a soccer game. If the goal is scored at 45 minutes of the first half, that goal at the end is scored at 45 minutes. If the goal is scored at 47 minutes of the first half, when you sum it up, the goal is scored at 45 minutes of the first half, because this 2 minutes additional time is not regarded as. So what the province should have done is that what the province should have done is that we are at 100% spending, and anything else, because it just cannot happen. You cannot spend 100% of your budget. Thank you. As to whether we are satisfied with the quality of business plans, I think we are. However, at the same time, circumstances do come up, and HODs in particular will take decisions at a later stage and maybe change things from what we know. And this is where the DG comes in with the last process, whereby at specified times, provinces and the DG would come together and look at what is happening and decide as a collective. You don't want a province to change the direction, which is not known to the DG, which comes very late as to this is the latest. That one is not accepted. It affects all of us. I think some of the questions Madam did will respond to in terms of the accession services and the dedication of those people, because she is very much responsible for that.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honorable members and colleagues. I'm not sure if I want to respond to the issue of the dedication as such of extension officers, but just to say that throughout the years, I think there has been a recognition that we have a weak extension service. And I think we have reported in the various forums through the portfolio committee, and I think we've spoken even to this committee about the work that we've done in terms of the research that we did around extension. Where are they? What are they doing? What kinds of qualifications do they have? And some of the soft skills that are required to carry out extension. We then moved to, I don't know. Is this okay? Yeah, okay. We then moved to work with the provinces. Sorry. Oh.
Her other name is Brenda, so she thinks.
Okay. You see, I'm not the only one who's handling the mic. She has it. He has it. Now I don't know. That's why I'm holding this chair. Okay. Okay. So, as I was saying, Chair, we then moved to actually articulate the needs for the provinces in terms of the numbers of extensioners that we require, what qualifications do they require, and we have documents that we've presented at the various forums. The issue around accountability, the visibility, the attitude of extension, we are going to be dealing with next week as part of the process of unrolling the extension recovery plan that we put to the table in some of the meetings. So that is taking place next week. We'll be meeting in the Eastern Cape, fortunately, where the chair has indicated that there are problems. We are getting everybody from the provinces coming. We are looking at both the extension in the public sector, but also the extension in the private sector, because we believe that the is value in actually trying to bring together all the extensioners so that we can move on this extension recovery plan. And we hope that we'll begin to address some of the issues that have been raised. On the issue, I think, that has been raised by Mr. Sogoni regarding whether or not CASP was meeting its objectives, I thought I should respond to that as well. In a sense that if we look at where we come from with respect to CASP, we developed CASP because there was a recognition that if you look at the budgets of the provinces, most of the budget went towards personnel expenditure. So what happened then was we worked with National Treasury and the provinces to say, how do we address this issue? And we came up with the process that the DG referred to of the 4x4, where we looked at the spending pressures, but also looked at how the programs of the provinces were set up, and the process of gazetting happened. Now, in the provinces, there is a budget that is allocated to support services as per the gazetted program, and that is what is reflected in what the colleagues have presented as the equitable share. The CASP money then came as a supplementary budget. So if we look historically at the budget and the expenditure, we see that there has been indeed an increase in the allocation by the provinces to support services throughout the year. And that is what CASP was supposed to leverage. Make sure that the provinces focus on support services and that they apply the money that they get to that. And the CASP was supposed to be a supplementary budget. And I think to the extent that the DG was saying, as time goes on, we have to begin to see a decrease in the allocation of a supplementary grant so that the provinces begin to carry the bulk of the allocations towards support services. Thank you.
Life and death, Chair. No, but some questions have been raised and comments. We welcome some of the comments, Chair, and we'll take them and apply them. And these are around the monitoring, the mixture of the instruments provided by Section 100, 125, and then 154. The telling the truth to the people. And in some cases here, I'm reading that to be talking to our own principals and saying we shouldn't shy away from saying not this year, certainly possible next year, or definitely the outer years, we shouldn't shy away from that. The subsumption, that's the word, I hope, that caste is being subsumed. We've always tried to resist that with the provinces, where they say caste is coming, let's not put the money there. We've resisted, and we think with some element of success through this budgeting process. What we have not yet done here, and then it's what we are now vigorously setting upon to do, is exactly what I've just said, that with the land and agrarian reform program, there will then be that radical change of how we consider business plans. I've never been happy that they should come national, they should be dealt with at a different level, but we are aware of the capacities, and so the padding of the capacities from national so that the provinces should undertake that them would be done together with that process. And the last one is that indeed the NCOP's visit in the Northwest, if I heard well, we will send our own people, but also invite the show that the provincial department is there so that we pick up on those and follow up on the others. Thank you.
PG, Mr. Sokonia's observation. Do you think that DOCA is an institution of government business, especially in respect of your own portfolio? You should not, at least what we were saying is that at least let's show the intention that is in the division of revenue. Let's allow these monies as are with the kind of commitments that you have made, that you are very working on all of these matters. Specific focus of KZN and Northwest, etc. You don't want us really to cut some of these allocations. But broadly you are clear and can support the division of revenue field as is. What's your take on that?
Chair, thank you. We'll be most grateful with your summary. That.
That's a point of order. What is it happening to expect me to say? you must reject your own proposal now. No, Chair, you just let the master job itself. It's an analysis to go.
In the law, and in the you want to hold in the
community. Thank you, Chair and members. We would be very grateful that there is maintenance of the support, as DDGDT has said. From where we come from, we've seen evident progress in terms of just the gazetting. We didn't have the gazetting. The gazetting has standardized the programs around which we can now compare. And she herself, very, very soon, will be publishing the performance, almost like what is done in SAP, to say which are the provinces that are performing and by how, various things. So that enables us to do so. From that alone, that much progress. The second one is indeed then that we can begin to introduce various intervention mechanisms. As I said, 6 months, we ourselves now are forcing ourselves to say, justify why you don't do X, Y, Z. That again is due to this. All in all, Chair would be very grateful and would be saying there's too much. There's still a lot to be covered. If we stop now, in many respects, then really we would not reach where we want, but we can begin to see where we are supposed to be and wanted to be. As we say, we gradually want to see a decline. She says there's been an increase, so our plea would continue to say we're not perfect, still is not perfect, but we're seeing a definite promise in terms of where we want to go. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. One of the things that I've noticed, I mean, this is an old grant, so basically you should start off to say that agriculture is a concurrent function where the national department is supposed to develop policy, norms and standards, and the province is supposed to implement. If we look at the CAST grant, one of the things that for me is missing, which may be there but we haven't engaged with, are what are the norms and standards that the supplementary grant, the CAST, which is a Schedule 4 grant, is supposed to be achieving, and how is it that we intend to achieve that? Because if we look at what the DORA is saying, it says the grant program should be planned with comprehensive output based on the funding of both the equitable share and the conditional grant. And if the business plan is then developed around this, I mean, this is what we should be engaging with. The second thing that I would like to, I mean, which we need to have some kind of an idea of, is when they do this planning, it's supposed to be a bottom-up approach, because what eventually emanates from this plan is the grant framework, which is supposed to be the comprehensive plan, taking the 9 plans into consideration and developing a national plan in terms of achieving the norms and standards that you want to put with the CARS grant. And that eventually should be the grant framework. Now, what is it that, I mean, this is an old grant and there's been problems with this grant for a long time. So what are the assumptions that are made when these plans are being developed, and what is the risk plan that is in place? Because if we look at KwaZulu-Natal, where are big problems? What were the assumptions, what were the risks, and what were the plans, the mitigating plans that have been put in place, and how have you know, you dealt with that, with those things? Because those risks need to be taken into consideration when you plan for the next financial year, and perhaps that is what we need to look at. If we look at the Eastern Cape and what has happened there, the issue of capacity and activities need to be aligned with the budget. And if there was this overexpenditure, we then need to engage with that. So basically, when there is overspending or underspending, we need to be able to identify what is it that led to this, and how have you as a department then engaged with it in monitoring and providing support. Basically, that's my comment.
Thank you. I think a couple of issues, I think, maybe if you allow me to share. If you look at the, even the previous grant we were talking about, that the payment schedule, if you look at it, and I think it's happening in all the departments, where you see that the mere fact that the way we plan in terms of transferring money to provinces, is such that in the first quarter you allow provinces to only take on 15%. In fact, you are saying to them that you are holding back the money, and that itself is a problem. You're contributing to much price, for instance. So I think in the way we plan, it must be such that we release much, to the benchmark of 25% in the first quarter. That even if we don't translate the whole thing, but other provinces must be able to absorb 25% of the money, which means that anything else, there's a gap. You want to intervene and say, you know, you must bring that to Ireland and then say, you must intervene here. And coming back to CARS, I think if you look at that table 21, what it says to me that if you have to add the 10th province, which is the National Department of Agriculture, and check the gap between what has been transferred, sort of sitting somewhere is not spent, and what has been absorbed, it will tell you something again. It tells you that if you have a benchmark or a norm that says that maybe if the money sitting in provincial banks is not absorbed at the level of 25%, you must intervene. So what I'm trying to say is that there could be an issue at the national level where all the provinces are in an ICU if you look at this thing. Let's say that does the national department have enough capacity to first of all implement what is in its own framework? Let's say you must monitor, you must have norms and standards. And I think it's more those issues that are really saying to you, if consistently, year in, year out, the conditional grant is in an ICU, then there's a problem at the high level. And I think it's more the issue of, do you have capacity to monitor this grant and therefore intervene? Because Section 100 would come in, would expose yourself where you say, okay, now you are on your own. Show us that you've got capacity to solve this problem. And I think that the last point that I have is the issue of emergency. In fact, in agriculture, think about it. In South Africa, the way we are, you are sitting with Indian provinces and the provinces are like the Western Cape. Automatically, there will be a disaster. Now, last year we gave in some, I think, 300 million in the adjusted estimate. Now, this year, you can expect that there will be another disaster. And in our talk to agriculture, we're trying to find out how can they, you know, plan. Let's say have agricultural engineers that will say, well, in this, is there something like that coming this year? This is a year where you can expect droughts and floods. How do you plan for it? What type of crops do you plant? And such that you absorb this money through some of this grant. And then, therefore, avoid a situation where we give them money in October, but then disaster happens in February. And you, the system is not working quite nicely. And I think those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay. And your DG, I don't want to talk to the DG now. Keep it in my planning. DG.
Thank you, Chair. I'll talk to some of the questions, comments by our colleagues from Treasury. On the issue of holding back the money, the 10% money that percentage that we make available to the provinces at the beginning of the financial year, the DG has said to us, if you want the province to have spent, say, 50% 6 months down the line, you must have given them all that money on time, so that you can say, we gave you the money, you didn't spend the money, then we are coming in with this section 100, 125. And our senior officials are aware that that disbursement has to change. Of course, we'll be communicating with Treasury from 10% to anything above 50% right at the beginning, so that the provinces will know we have this money and we'll go ahead and implement our project. And then the intervention will be timeous, and the intervention will be appropriate, because provinces will have been given the money on time to implement their projects. As to the assumption and the risk that we make, we do all those things. We do assume that there won't be major changes, particularly at leadership level. The question with KwaZulu-Natal has been more at the highest level, and it is, you hardly think that there will be those things at that level. Yes, we are aware that some of the risk could be when you lose your engineers being taken by the private sector and so forth, and our business plans try to take that into account, but not the change of the HOD or the sacking of a person at that level. It doesn't cross our mind when we look at business plans. On the issue of disasters and budgeting for disasters, it's a brilliant thing to indicate that this year we expect this and that, but as to quantify it, it is always a challenge. You cannot quantify anything that might happen due to natural causes, but I think that advice is taken, and we'll be looking into that.
Thank you, sir. I'll just respond to the issue of the nonsense standards, just to indicate that we are in the process of developing those, myself and Mr. Bayete, together with all the other provincial issues. So we've taken that on board, and that's what we are busy doing, and it should be done, I think we said, by April this year. Yeah. Thank you.
You see, the problem with the JORA allocation schedule for 2008-09, when we call them, the provinces in the first quarter, they say, you know, we've understand because of the allocations given to us. And of course, the norm that he's raising, which is 25%, because on the basis of your schedule, you're already giving out 10%. And when everybody comes, and I think you're correct, because already if you think everybody gets 10% in the first quarter, at least all of them are just in the ICU. Because I would be calling them on the basis of the performance, and all of them would be saying, no, we were given 10%, etc. So in other words, what you're also not doing, what I might understand what you want to do, but you are also not incentivizing them to be working a bit harder for themselves. And this is basically what we were saying when we were saying ourselves, we want to incentivize you by showing the intention, by passing the money as is, so that it would be useful for you also to be saying in terms of your allocation per quarter, at least the target must be about 25%. If people are not able to reach 25%, then you are able to see the red line.
if you set into stifle, therefore, Romans 11, 7, 08, 35%, much high. I'm the sheriff, if you like. And therefore, you're really akin, because they would only say, but normally the numbers are 35%, and therefore you are pushing them too high. And that's what I'm certain saying. It's something that you might want to relook at, so that you don't want to put pressure on yourself, but also on your. Because in the first court, I will call them and say to them, you are in the IEC, they'll say, no, no, we're not. It is what we got, gazetted by our national department. I think this is something that you still need to look at yourself. I'm not sure. We're not going to discuss it. All up to you. We'll be watching it in the first quarter ourselves. But thank you very much, DG and your team. We will be. Oh, please, don't do this thing. Let's then thank the DG. We will be looking at these things. DG, I hope favorably. Let me say favorably. You would not be unfair to you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah.
Remember.
So, we will release you. Some of your people, I suspect, might be going to Congress without us knowing the national debt. You know, I was watching a wonderful pilot. I'm not sure where that man comes from. He was landing in a stormy weather. And he suddenly said, all the time on board, it was on TV, I think 2 or 3 days ago. When he was landing, left wing touched the ground, and then he decided to move up again. And then he settled and settled and then settled. It was a terribly stormy. I think it is Miami or somewhere there, so very true. That man is a good young man. So I'm saying some of your people might be going to such places that have no international airport. And therefore, we release you and thank you very much. Now we will be talking to Brendan Dan and Bafana Bafana. The DG is here. Madam. Bafana Bafana. Orlando Paris won yesterday. Sundowns has also won. He's achieved his place 24. Maybe this department can tell us what's going on there.
I don't know what
the audience is. We can also release you guys from the correction department. I'm sorry, I forgot to say it.
I don't have any knowledge of this program. Why are you?
Sports and what? The Proteas are winning. That one is chess in Bangladesh. The Bulls and the others in the Super 14 are in trouble. The Sharks are on the wrong.
Let's go, Duncan.
The Western Cape Watch is in trouble. And so on. So it's all up to you. Well, what's going on? Match sports, club development, and all of these things.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to dispute that. We may meet on test, but not necessarily on the World Cup. There's a difference.
I'm not going to name it, but I'm saying that the story is not. You
Justin, we're trying to be very brief, so if you wait, don't waste your time. We have a few slides on the previous presentation. We'll try to zoom in, but if we have missed anything, I'm sure certain that the members will ask questions. And we're trying to change that to sport in schools. It's growing. Thank you, Chairperson. My CFO will be doing the presentation and they have been sorting it out. Just a plea on my side to say we're looking better than we did so in the past or on Dora at this point. We've been actually in a meeting we had last Friday. All provinces promised the minister that they'll be extended by the end of the financial year. I would like to see that. Not fully. Some of them are going to be at 90 something, but not fully 100%, even though they are there. That was last week. It's much. Indeed. They were saying so, and that's why I'm not so certain. Say, I cannot stand here and be certain that they will be.
On the block?
Chair, I can put my neck to say, my neck on the block to say there will be at least 90 something cents. Thank you, Chairperson. By
90
something. Thanks, Chairperson. We'll talk on the two things that Dora covers in our department, the grants going to provinces on Siyazala, mass participation, club development, and then we'll focus on the construction of stadiums. It's those two presentations that we'd like to do. One of the things I'd like to mention is that on this grant, 5% was taken last year to be for human resources in provinces, because one of the problems we realized on Dora was that provinces were not spending the money because they did not have staff dedicated. And we then agreed with Treasury that 5% would be used for employing people who then implement the program at provincial level. But the grant is given and guaranteed for the MTS period of care. What is asked provinces to do is to begin, because part of the agreement is that provinces will then employ people and then absorb those people. We're finding that provinces are finding it difficult to do that. They're not committing to absorbing the staff. Because if they employ, because they're saying they're not certain that the grant will continue, even though they're supposed to begin to create spaces within their own equitable share to absorb the team that they have appointed. So what they tend to be doing, which we've discovered in our discussions with them, is that they employ people on one-year contracts. One-year contract is stabilizing for anybody. And it's, although it's renewable, people tend to find better jobs elsewhere and leave the program. So it creates a continuous vacuum in people who are to implement this program and creates problems as well also, which are then manifesting in expenditure. Because if there are no people to implement, then expenditure also becomes low. That's one problem we've discovered, that we are trying to see how we'll assist them provinces to see if they can fill this position. We've been having meetings with all HODs in provinces, looking at why they have not advertised posts on the 5% that was given. And with each one, we had a team from the department that even went to provinces to check with HR why are we not advertising. How do we assist you to advertise this post, shall evaluate them, and then appoint people. He believes it's renewable contracts because they are hesitant to do the 3 years because the Labor Relations Act is very clear. If you take somebody on a contract for 3 years, they might as well think they are employed. It's those kind of situations that have been created. So they're playing it cautious, but we're trying to assist them. And this year we'll find a plan of seeing how to assist them in doing that. The second key issue that I want to put on the table as well is the question of monitoring and evaluation of jobs. We do transfer 25%, which is a benchmark, the quota. But when you begin to see that funds are not being expended, you begin to see the red light, you worry, should I then further transfer? We've tried to intervene by saying maybe we should not transfer that to provinces that are not spending. But we're nicely told at some point to carry on transferring and begin to put systems, to put systems in place so that we can see that we are intervening properly instead of withdrawing funds. I'm not saying the president has said that. It's not fair that I said that, but in fact, because it could create some tensions between province and national officers. I know. Yes. So, bottom line, but it also creates unnecessary tensions if we are. In relations, we have relations that we have to manage, which becomes, off the record, I'll talk to the chair. Off the record. But it's a difficult situation. It's an easy decision to take, to say I will withdraw if nothing goes on. But when you begin to understand what the issues on the ground are, you begin to wave and say, maybe I should transfer. But then you put systems of assistance. One of the things is that this portfolio of sport that maybe we should understand that is, maybe it needs to be taken seriously at a higher level, a political level of red in provinces. Because you see that today you have an MEC, decisions are taken, tomorrow that MEC is no longer there. By the next minute, there is a new MEC. It's a worrying thing at the leadership level that affects the operation of the ground. That's why you punish an MEC who just come in by saying I'm not transferring funds because it's those kind of things that say I wanted to give you a step aside, don't anticipate something else. It's those kind of things that become a bit difficult to manage at this level. But we are trying to do that now. And we are hoping that MECs are going to remain and be continuous like in other portfolios. Another problem is that you find that sports and recreation is always clubbed with something else. It's only in case of M that you have a Department of Sports and Recreation. The other provinces, it's sports, arts and culture and something else. So you find that the HOD is all kinds of strange portfolios. You find that the HOD is now dependent on the directors who implement sports. And the level of decision making at that point is very low. And these people sometimes function without guidance because the person is busy with another portfolio, which is more demanding. Others are three in one, others are two in one. Arts and culture, education, others are arts and culture, and so on. So it becomes very keen to manage as an OJD, managing three portfolios. So, but that issue we hope will be sorted out in the year dispensation coming up after the next year. That is an issue that will be dealt with. The last one I want to touch on is monitoring and evaluation, which is critical for implementing of the grant. We have monthly meetings with provinces in trying to ensure that we understand and we are on board on things and what's going on, and we get those supports. We depend on the treasury of the province and national treasury to do our control of figures, calculation of figures. And at least we are precise when we report to say that in January we are at this point, which is what you will see in the presentation. It's figures that have been guaranteed by treasury, both at provincial level and national, that this is the state of expenditure that we ate. So it's not figures that we sort of take on the side and so on. They're coming from the expenditure of from the treasury, so it's quite authentic figures, and we trust that those figures are going to be checked at provincial level. With monitoring, we have a system that we're using, which is based on first meetings with the provinces. And then we've now said on MINMEC days, instead of the technical MINMEC, instead of having a 1 day preparing for MINMEC, there should be a two-day meeting and a second meeting per quarter, which we do per quarter. The second day of the meeting then focuses on the program itself. That way we head on with the HODs at a higher level to see what are the real issues that they are grappling with so that we can begin to solve them. We think this can also improve the systems of ensuring that the figures we get, which are always questioned on Parliament, at Parliament by members in our portfolio commission, select committee, that when we say we have trained 5,000 people, the first question we ask, where are these people? In my constituency, nothing happens. So where were they trained? If you say there were activities and so many people participated in it, no, I've never seen that. And I go to my constituency. It's those kind of questions that need us to begin to be at least a bit hands on and begin to say what goes on there. Begin to capture what's happening on the ground and also begin to verify some of the things they said. If they say there are so many clubs, we need a system that verifies where those clubs exist and also we can have a database at the department level which says if Parliament questions our statistics, we then can supplement them with existing documents that we're getting. It's a tedious process which has led us as a department to begin to say maybe also as national we need to build our own capacity to deal with this. And we are now proposing to our principals and to say we need satellite offices in all provinces. So that instead of people us traveling all the time from national, we have people on the ground who can assist provinces and build that capacity at provincial level through national strength that will go in and assist. Let me chair, don't waste too much of your time. I want to allow my CFO to present for the commission. Thank you.
And members.
Yes. Yeah, basically this first slide shows us the latest expenditure trend before we go to the actual if you look at the province, it shows you how much has been allocated and how much And then as the DGF indicated in our last MIMMEC meeting, the HOD first indicated that they will be able, to use those funds in this particular current financial.
No, before you proceed, are you sure? Looking at that picture.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Eastern Cape, it's 70%.
Yeah.
Look at the Eastern Cape, it's 77%. How till 53, 74, 60, 57, 56. Northwest, I doubt we had it. We in fact dismissed them in our meeting, if you remember, Mr. Sokoni. Northwest. We are going to see them in Northwest next week. I mean, do we really believe that they will be able to spend that profit?
Yeah. At the moment, in terms of the mass participation grant, Northwest is the highest spending for the past 3 months, Honorable Chair. I must admit that I am worried to learn that in the next, say, 3 weeks, the provinces are confirming what they think they will be to spend up about 98%, some of them 95%. But I'm very much worried if you're not be fiscal dumping, and we were assured by the HOD that it won't be fiscal dumping. But we are, of course, as a department, worried that this expenditure will be in terms of the grant framework.
Don't understand.
Yes. Let's apologize for that, because whilst we are questioning the agricultural, I think the arts and culture department, I added it on the Thank you. And the next slide now shows us the allocation going forward, and a little bit of history from 06-07, 07-08, where we are today, and 08-09, where we are heading, where the budget is 290 million. At this stage, I'll also like to indicate that this budget is for 3 grants. As you will see, the following slide, it shows you that there's a grant for the mass participation, for the grant for the school mass participation, as well as the grant for the legacy project. The next slide shows you the breakdown allocation for the Siyagala in particular, which is 105 million. And it shows you the amount per province. The next slide will show you the school sport allocation and per province over the MTF period.
and the next slide also will show you the legacy allocation also per province. Now it's 90. For 0829, it's around 15,000. This is to the nearest 1,000.
Okay.
Yes. And this is the allocation for the BKC project, which includes the project like the club development and so on. And then there is also a question of how these grants were allocated. The next slide tries to explain how all these grants were allocated. It's actually three components. It was a typo error there. The first one that's indicated is the Adala, and then is the school sport, and it's the legacy project. The allocation per grant to provinces was done as follows. For the legacy, the equitable share formula was used. For the Adala, 60 million was divided into equal for all the nine provinces. The reason being that the equitable share obviously will, you know, allocate little money to other provinces, and as a result of that, the methodology was used to ensure that even the smaller provinces do get money to roll out the project of the mass participation. In the school sport, only the equitable share was used. This slide shows you all the activities that are happening consolidated for all the provinces. Okay, this one here is the grant for the 2010 stadium. As you can see, it's allocated per stadium. It shows you the bit of the historical allocation and show you the percentage that they spend in the current financial year, how much you have transferred, and the percentage spending, which is also sitting very low at this point in time, at 56%. And then at this note, I would like the technician to assist me to open the allocation going forward for the stadium. It's on another... it's not on my screen also. The next slide is supposed to show you the allocation of all the stadiums going forward, the budget for the stadium, which is that is the one that
still looking for that. Can we comment on this portfolio, bearing in mind that understanding, for now, there's a risk of understanding, not only in terms of these conditional grants, in fact, almost all of them. And so there's a risk of understanding that the teacher says. I mean, I know the MEC is always making these nice promises. We will be meeting with the one in the Northwest when we are in the Northwest next week. And so this is exactly the reason why Bafana is also underperforming. The money given to everybody is underperforming. And so Bafana is also underperforming. Comment?
As the same thing you said, the first statement which
Chair is telling us is that between them and the National Program, they agreed on the 5% to for capacity building. Now, what I'm not sure is where did we want to cover? Why 5%? Because the law does not say 5%. But why do they choose to make it 5% and not what the law provides for?
So let's just immediately, because this is about infrastructure that party is talking about. This one they're talking, in fact it's not even in the law, unfortunately. And I think this is where the problem lies for me. The one Mr. Sokol referred to is a particular section that relates to infrastructure department and therefore capacity there. So this one might be problematic in the sense that it's also not in the law.
Let's rephrase it that then, from where did this money come from, you know, this is 5%. Yes, not in the law, correct. If we could get that. But also, Chair, I think that the other comment, you have made in terms of DG was saying they want now to move to provinces, to a close monitoring of the implementation of it. But the general question that could ask is I'm not sure if the DG was at the last quarterly presentation. I think you were not there. But it was clear that there were challenges in terms of implementation. I mean, the figures that people were giving, as we've talked, for instance, you did make this mention of commented on 5,000 or the current people. But even the provinces, it was really very difficult for them to be convincing in terms of these figures of so many people that are employed or participate. But the question well to ask is value for money, because some of this money goes to Kaiser Chiefs and Island of Pirates, and those clubs are the richest. South Africa. Not necessarily, we saw the water call, for instance, in Gauteng. Gauteng challenge. Some of the richest clubs are there in Gauteng. But in terms of from the grant, was this Bloemfontein, Celtic, or which club? But there was a club that was getting support. It's not a professional one, but I think it's also that club is on the federal division, because that province does not have a club on the first division, so they want to have a club on the first division. Now, but the club that is already in the patron, but the thing is, one, do we the way the what they call it, the provinces, one, the way the provinces are spending, are they spending according to the conditions of the grant? That's number one. But number two, generally, sometimes do we see value for money in spending this article on this grant? Because as I say, from what we hear from provinces, sometimes some province there's more dedication and perhaps seriousness,
But from some provinces, they think that people, it is business as usual. We have not gravitated to business as unusual. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. It is an important department. Sport and recreation. To keep the nation, to keep develop a healthy nation. Seeing that a mass community, mass participation, school sport sounds very good. I just want to build upon the statement that I got from the TV that when supposed to be an to have an element of job creation, they only take people on year contracts. In the meantime, they don't spend, they don't exhaust their allocation. To me, I think it's a question of educating these people to be assertive, to understand that we need this department to survive. I also wanted to check, though it's difficult to go beyond this, I wanted to check if there is any involvement of private sector. You know, during the old days, there used to be this mining, giant mining companies. They used to accept in the recreational facilities and sports. I still believe, with all the changes of doing away with hostels and all that, they are still passionate in sport. So at which level do we involve these giant companies to buy into them? Because this is one element, this is one situation really to keep our people busy, to rather the focus on sport instead of focusing on the thing.
Solomon, before I forget, I think that as we will be in the Northwest next week, I think the Department of Agriculture must be, I hope that it's included in our program in the Northwest, Department of Agriculture, Northwest. Yeah. But the question really, Chair, that I wanted to ask is that, one, is that I think that we really appreciate the work that is happening in the 2010 stadium. Very good. But somehow, I think that because it's a huge, what they call a responsibility, it has really diverted attention from everything else into 2010. As I'll be going back to my, maybe you have heard this, but because the old records, you have also commented, going back to constituents, I'll be interacting with what they call with schools. Now, I don't know if the Department of Sport and Recreation is making any contribution towards MIG. Is it MIG, by the way, that is supposed to build sports facilities at schools? And if so, what contribution are you making to ensure that this does what we call happen? Because so far, it's not happening. And another question, I'll come back later.
You think there's a problem with your, I have a problem myself, with your...
No, I can't believe it.
Okay.
It's around the, what you call it, Mbombela. What is the latest Mbombela and... no, but we want to hear now with the PG. so that if we are going to model, and I was saying to teach you the other day, the public representatives have also a role to play. I mean, they have experience of trade unions and what to achieve their status, what to call. But where are we now with the involvement of this?
Madam, the only problem that worries me, you say in terms of allocating to the provinces, you are using the equitable share formula. That's what the CFO was saying. Now, I'm not sure to what extent that does not therefore distort the allocation. Because if you're using that formula, then it means there's something, it is like a problem. Well, that formula is a much broader formula. And the way you use it now might not be addressing the problem of the provinces in terms of the equitability of the equitable formula you're using. I suspect therefore the focus is lost somewhere. And I think that's a bit worrying for me. I would want to advise you, myself, just on a discussion with the FSC, to look at what, I mean, the experts in this industry of advising national government in terms of the formula to deal with these things. But I think you are perpetuating again the problems of the equitable share, the partner equitable share in this field. It's all over to you, madam.
Thank you, Chair. We'll share the questions among ourselves. But if I may start with the last one, thanks for the comment, Chair. Actually, as you were dealing with the culture, we also were discussing this to say who allocates and why. And the response I was getting is that it's pleasure. I said, on what basis? So we need to begin to, that's what I was told when I see it. I see you shaking your head. And I said, no, it cannot be. It has to be based on needs. It has to be based on needs. And we have to do those needs and then decide. I'm not sure it's not too late, but I wish we could do that because I'm excited to do that because we know exactly where the problems are. And we know where we could intervene strategically without being pushed into a corner by saying this is the formula. I'm glad I'm going to step in this morning to listen so that we can begin to implement God's side. We will be doing that. It may mean that we may delay a bit, but we'll negotiate with Treasury on time because it's arriving the business plan. So we will look at the business plan and then revisit the allocation. We may have to communicate with government to say that we have changed on the basis of what we now see as a need and not say this is what was given. Because province were already told in the last meeting how much they've been receiving. But we have to actually manage that situation ourselves. That I'm excited about, Chair. I sat there and I was getting very excited. I didn't know we could do this, but now we know we have no excuse but we'll do it. On the question of Mbombela, I'm sure the committee is aware that Mbombela has been placed on a special mandate tonight by the province. What the minister has said to the minister of CPFG is that we will need to place also a technical specialist to be part of that officers or administration, so that at least the issue of unity and accuracy and cannot compromise in any form. On the MEEC issue, you realize that DSRP was placed under MEEC employment. And our evaluation at the moment is that all those facilities that we have put on the ground, some of them have disappeared, and we have lost actually the tune of 300% on the deadline. We're backward. Every step we took forward has been reversed. Some of the areas that were identified and begin to work have been changed. Stadiums disappeared, houses emerged, land sold. Issues like that that we've discovered, that hence we were excited with the decision taken in December by the ruling body to reverse that and give us leak, and we're busy at the moment with the cabinet memo. We're consulting with other departments, including DPMG. At this point, the cabinet memo is ready. We are facing it to government as soon as possible. We've given them a week to comment. If we're not getting that, because we're hoping Treasury will begin to allocate those funds back to us from the 1st of April instead of CPLG. We hope that soon can be done. we work on current sources as well. We're busy with the submission. We are also working on a national plan for sporting facilities, which we want to finalize before the end of the financial year, which we'll be discussing with the minister and the portfolio committee of sport over this weekend. There's a draft plan that we've put in place so that we can take over and start running this process from the first quarter. I'll ask my strategist to talk to the issue of federal rate and the sovereign area of the evaluation actually that we did on this program, whether they are really available for money on this project.
Chairperson, thank you, Honourable Member, also for that input. Under the leadership of our new DG, we have also revised the... Yeah, but she's still brand new for us because we battled so long to get the DG. Chairperson, we also restructured the whole functioning of the technical MINMEC in the sense that the focus is very much more now on strategic policy issues and to make sure that not only at national level but also at the provincial level that we can ensure proper alignment and also look very careful the role that sport and recreation can play in fulfilling government objectives. So in these meetings with the provinces, we have then also asked them to submit to us all the functions and all the projects that they are busy with at the moment and how does it contribute in achieving government priorities. So in that session, Chairperson, we have realized that some of the things that the provinces are involved in, maybe there could be a question asked, is that really the right area? And is that really the right emphasis on some of these projects that they are busy with? Because we have also learned in these feedback sessions that they support some clubs that could be questionable whether government funds should go to those clubs. So, Chairperson, we did identify a list of all these issues that we have a concern about. And within the department, we went on a strategic workshop towards the end of last year, and we've also invited all the HODs to come and sit with us. And jointly, we have identified key areas that we would believe that sport and recreation could make a contribution towards achieving national goals and objectives. So, Chair, we would like to believe that in the coming year, if we start to implement the new strategic direction, that we will be able to address these issues and to make sure that the money that are spent at the provincial level, that it is aligned not only with the national strategic direction but also with government priorities, and that there should be then not a question in future whether the funds that are spent, do they really achieve what it is supposed to achieve. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Chulan Duncan, I'm the risk manager and head of the Education Department. I'm monitoring to add on what the Director said. We have established relationship with provincial regional audit for them to audit this program and provide us with support. And we also assist them with regard to tourist management issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Esther Mokhtari, program manager on the Mass Education Program. The 5%, as was asked, pertaining to the payment of the salary of the top staff members was a process which we discussed with the National Treasury. And that was because of we saw that certain provinces were lacking capacity for the program to be implemented. And that's why we came to that discussion and agreement with National Treasury. Also, Chair, on the issue of Potchefstroom or Northwest, for the taking parliament to people. I think it will also be wise and also be correct if members of the committee will visit the communities where some of these problems are happening for you to have the present information. Thank you, Chair. We'll do so.
I think that the question that was raised by Mr. Mkhat is around the, I mean, you indicated that you got the money. That question was where did this money come? I think that was the question.
The 5% we're talking about is part of the grant. It's within the grant itself. Because part of the process is for us to be able to deliver, we need to have capacity and provinces for delivering those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they covered all the issues.
Okay. On the private sector initiative person, we depend mostly on federal federations. And because of federations, if they're not clean and their corporate governance is not in place, private sector shies away from them. So one of the processes we are putting in place in order to bring back the private sector into sport is to ensure that the federations are also clean. They have their house in order. A good example is Boxing South Africa. Boxing South Africa has turned around its administration and has a clean audit, and as such have been able to bring in sponsorship on board. The latest one is 10.5 million. We have bailed them only on the tax to SARS. But they are putting in so much attraction because they are attractive now to everybody. And if we can do that around with others, private sector would gladly come to the party with their lives. So we're implementing that strategy of ensuring that our house considerations are in order. Thank you.
I'm smiling with the HOC because he's speaking about boxing. When I was thinking about boxing, I was just going to say,
I think from our side, the issue of 5% in Kakogoni is not necessarily within the bill itself. It will be the different conditional grants where they can say 3% but they must justify why. I think for us, this grant is meant for provinces. Now, if this money is going to be spent at provinces, then we are talking, but not to say that we want to build capacity at the national level, because that's not where it should be. So, like you explained, it's in the provinces, so that's fine. So, it leads to achieving certain goals. And I think the other point that I must let us say, our new DG, is that where you see Treasury giving you an allocation is because we've been clapped with Section 39 in the bill. We say we did not respond in time when we said to you, give us your allocation formula going ahead. But you don't have to do that. We implement as it is in this new bill, Section 39, subsection 4, C2. You see that when you don't come to us in time, and we really pester you, okay, between June and November and December, I pester to make sure that, you know, I get those allocations. But if you don't respond in time, automatically we cannot hold back the territory. We kick in and make sure that allocations are there. But in that case, we still, there's a number four that says that we can negotiate the process because we can regulate. So in the end, we take the bill that's taken. Thanks, sir.
I just want to also, Mr. Sekoni, clarify that the 5% that was allocated, this was a new grant. And when the new grant was instituted, there was no capacity in provincial departments. There was no one appointed in the provincial department to carry out that function. Like any other line function, the department is supposed to employ somebody to do this job. One of the things that the HOD had pointed out that the problems encountered with this grant is a lack of capacity. And here, actually, I must say, thank you very much for your very frank presentation of really addressing the issues that we ourselves have identified with this program. Perhaps one of the things that you really need to stress now with the provinces is to ensure that they appoint a dedicated person to implement this grant. The issue of saying that they are not sure about the conditional grant and that it's, you know, that there isn't certainty about the funds is actually untrue, because we, first of all, we start off by giving a three-year allocation. So that is certainty over a period of the NCEF. The second thing is, when the grant is phased out, I mean, when it's no more conditional grant, the money remains in the equitable share of the province. And it should remain within the budget of the department. So there isn't a fear that there wouldn't be money. The money is basically, that is kind of secured. In terms of going back and changing the allocation for this financial year, which was something that you raised, I'm not sure whether it's possible at this stage. And it's definitely not possible. So you cannot do that for this financial year. I mean, even the allocations for the next financial years have been indicated, so that's the minimum guaranteed amount that a province should get. If you wish to change the allocation criteria, you would have to manage it within that, where you can increase it, but you cannot decrease the amount to a particular province. And that's something perhaps we need to have a discussion moving forward for the next financial year. One of the things that, when you pointed out today that the provinces have guaranteed that they're going to spend the money, the fears that we have, and I think this is where we need to speak very frankly, like yourself, is that they do not pump this money into established clubs, nor do they use the money to buy, the soft options like equipment and outputs that are going to lie there. And actually also, we know that for some code of sports that are irrelevant in certain communities. So I think we'd rather have underspending than wasteful expenditure in that sense. I'm not from this province, but one of the things that has been alerted to me, and I mean, that is why I need to say, is that where there are emerging clubs, they don't really get the need or the support that they really require. For example, I had a discussion with somebody from the Borland, and that's where there are big problems of drugs, alcohol abuse, teenage pregnancies, HIV and AIDS. And I think one of the bigger objectives that this grant is intended to address is social cohesion. And whether this is really happening isn't, we don't see evidence of that. The money is actually being pumped into areas where there isn't really a need. And I think, moving forward, this is where we should start looking at how we start addressing these things. And basically, if you go back and you say, this is what the Siananda project is about and what the school sports program is about, and maybe we need to, in the next, work together to try and see to it that we address these objectives.
Okay. We were a bit disappointed in the third quarter when we heard that you had not responded to some questions in relation to some recalls at the department. It's a pity I forgot this, also in respect of arts and culture, because we were told by National Treasury that they sent letters which were just about those things. Let's hope that you will, for in future, respond to these questions timelessly. I hope you do support this allocation of the HDM broadly in the Division of Implementation. Alright, what's your last question? Not on that.
But before the speech is last question,
I think that the CCL also needed on the stretching capacity in the province. Maybe we really need to just emphasize that we hope that at least that will be what we can get done so that the issue that the chair person is referring to around the expenditure in province is
and add on to what the talent that God gave them, you're able to then see a
actually a sportsperson who emerges then actually will be able to take on anybody. But they have a deficiency at this point, which we are trying to address. And in fact, the department has now created a directorate on sports science. That sports science unit is going to be assisting us, even in South Africans, to deal with issues of obesity, to tell us what we should be eating, that we should be active, that we are even mass participation in this program is to make us also active socially, so that we can take walks and defeat and reduce the health bill of this country. And we have an opportunity to do that with this. We have. On the other side, the second person who could be able to allow us on the Bafana Bafana Band, I know people make jokes about that. But it's a serious issue for us. It's a very serious issue for us. I know. Now we know where the shepherd's is in July. with the minister, we try to see in our budget now outside Dora, if we could be able to put a plan together where we could bring in, based on our MOUs with a number of countries, take our kids with talent, identify talent from provinces, take those kids and deploy them elsewhere. Whether it's Brazil, we've got an MOU with Brazil, we could take five to Brazil, we've got an MOU with Inter Milan, well, Italy are champions at this point in street football. Inter Milan can take five, Juve can take five. We spread them into some Nigeria. And we'll do this, hopefully this year, because that's what the minister is pushing. We'll have experts come with us to each province to get teams to play together so we can create a provincial team. This provincial team will then be playing at a national, we'll have a national tournament where we'll bring, and this in a sense of knowing, we don't want people who are aligned to all those cartels who are already signed up with somebody. But we want to bring those people into this team of a national team of about 45 people who will then challenge Mafana Mafan and even challenge other countries. But we will then put them through an incubator, and we hope this will work in time for 2010. So that we can say to our coach Ferreira, play this kid, choose from this, and here's the mask that we've created. Choose from this mask. If the teams are not releasing our kids on time who are playing internationally, let them be. But we have a team and a group that we can select from of no name who would want to play their hearts and souls for South Africa in 2010. So we don't get what Ghana got. I was personally in Ghana. When I arrived after the State of the Nation in Ghana, Ghana had lost and they were playing a losing match on Saturday. When we arrived on Friday, the competition was over for Ghana. There was no stall, no anything, nothing that told you there was a comedy, the final play being played on Sunday. The competition had ended. You couldn't see anything that told you this country was hosting a final in Accra. Nothing. Except for the fan pass that happened on Saturday when Ghana was playing in Kumasi. That was all that happened. Following day, the stadium was half empty. They had to open the doors enough time and allow people to walk in. We don't want that happening in South Africa. We don't want that happening in South Africa. So that's something we really take seriously as this department and would like to put our hearts and souls in ensuring that we are able to stay on, even if it's a quarter final or if we get to the final, that is a blessing. But we want to get there. Thank you so much.
Okay. You will get to the final if I become the assistant coach or a technical advisor. Now, on this note, can I, our colleagues from the Johannesburg municipality are living today. Mr. Mkhase, your last word, you're not on death row. You need us from the first day.
Okay. So, thanks, Chair. I think it is important to thank the Chair and the committees and the department, because on our side it was to have a study tour for a week, engage with yourselves as the Chair. And we've learned a lot, you know, as utilities and entities that we deal with. And we need to refresh as well we've been working. I think if we are not in terms of Parliament, the TBNG National, in terms of Johannesburg and Mfuleni Capital Project, to say there should be devolution of power. So we are here as the legislature to say, how do you deal with the oversight? And through your engagements with DRA, DPLG, we've learned a lot. We've also learned a lot in terms of deployment by DGSA, of the kind of people that they deploy to municipality to assist. I mean, one of the challenging questions is that if you have a municipality like Johannesburg, which is an African city and a global city, you know, with a budget of about 25 billion, a year to be increased to about 30 billion going to 08-09. So we have a muscle, but in that muscle we have the right people to do oversight. And I think as colleagues we have learned a lot, but we have that, you know, coherence is important to link up with your, what you call, if you are a pilot, serum, as you spell. So you always refer to your mother body to say, what is it that you do? And going forward, we think with yourself to say, maybe also call you to come to our city, learn a lot in terms of how we work. But we have learned a lot and we're going to use and we'll write a report just to inform you of the process that we have, you know, unfolded at the city. But lastly, thanks very much for your assistance and your humbleness. We were welcomed and you know, you acted like the real mother to assist those metros that are there. Well, metros, but at the end we have national government. And there are very much that we work on. Thanks very much.
Wow. I'm humble to myself. We really have enjoyed your stay with us. And I did say your discipline, highly disciplined all the time. Very much punctual when it came to coming early in our meetings. You're nice and quiet. Do invite us to the glamorous city. But the good thing is that having seen all the pictures, you have seen how your province performs at different levels. And I think the province is also must start learning from you as a big municipality. I mean, you are handling a bigger budget as a municipality. So we think Gauteng is a smart province, but Johannesburg is much smarter than Gauteng as a province. So we've got to go and learn how, because part of what we must do is also, as we learn from you, how do you ensure that all of these monsters that you have there, Power City, what have you, many, many public entities, how do they assist you to do service delivery? Finally, that's the bottom line. And so we've really enjoyed your stay with us. And of course, there is a kind of commitment you keep. It's a sacrifice, really. Some of you are elderly. Your kids are missing you so much. And here you are. You've been with us for so long. And then thank you very much for coming. There's lunch in the old assembly dining hall. Everybody is invited. Let us join and go and enjoy that. Come trust me. We will be going to Joburg one of these days. I'm not sure when. Thank you. Thank you.